This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Good evening. This is a great joy for me to be here together with you. And I would want to simply say that I am a father of five, as what I've just been given. I have just a slight point of correction. It's four boys and one girl. So I just wanted to say that I have got the privilege of having at least a girl in my family. I would want to say to you, my brethren, to be a father is one of the most serious business that I can ever be able to talk about. Allow me to first of all say that when you go to the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, when you are looking at this, we have got to be asking ourselves the question, okay, so what is this heart that we are talking about? Now, we need to understand that when we are talking about a family is actually the heart of the community, the heart of the church, the heart of the nation, and we can also be able to say that it is the heart of the world. But then it is what the heads of the family make it that will cause it to be either the good heart or the wrong type of the heart. Allow me to read together with you. There is a book that I normally like so much. And this book is known as Adventist Home. And I recommend it to each and every one of us, anyone who can have a chance to get to it. I would recommend you to have it. It says here, home is the heart of all activity. Society is composed of families and is what the heads of the families make it. Out of the heart are the issues of life, and the heart of the community and of the church of the nation is the household. The well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation depend upon the home influence. And I would want to say to you, my brethren, that the role of the father is so important in the family. Why? It is because it is the one that sort of engineers the whole family. As goes the father, so goes the family. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I have experienced myself as a father. I have discovered that in this world, there are no schools for fathers. There are no universities for fathers. There are no degrees and high-sounding diplomas for those people who have, for somebody to become a father. But for you to become a father, most of us, we simply woke up and we discovered, okay, now I'm a father, and I've got to be figuring out how I can be able to go about being a father. So we would want to talk at this time also to our young people who are rising up at this time, so that they do not make the mistakes that we have done ourselves of just jumping into the marriages and then from then on figuring out how to go about it. So there are things that I've discovered in life that are very important. Number one, I've discovered that for one to become a good father, he first of all has to realize where the origin of fatherhood or family comes from, which gets me back again to the time that God created the whole world, and then he created also family. When he created the family, the husband and wife, and he said, be fruitful and multiply, the Lord was simply saying that I'm instituting this family in this world so that it could be able to operate any other type of a family that would come into this world. That is the church, that is the society, that is the government, that is a nation. All that is supposed to be it is supposed to be based on a family scheme. This is how the Lord designed. And I was also reading from the Bible, where the Bible says, therefore the man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his own wife, and then the two shall be one flesh. This is what God has designed to be, that there would be an entity of a family that can be able to have its own children that are going to be raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, so that that family can be able to go well. What am I trying to say is this: if for a family to be able to operate well, it needs to be operating from the manufacturer's design. What is the manufacturer's purpose in instituting a family? That therefore we need to go back to God and we ask the Lord, what was his purpose in instituting a family? Be fruitful and multiply, number one, and replenish the earth. And not only that, if you read about Adam, you remember that Adam had to give birth to his sons who were after his own similitude. Just like Adam was after the similitude of God, so was Cain and Abel after the similitude of their father. So are we supposed to have our own children after our own likeness? And so the Lord, he actually clearly said in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, that you have got to be teaching these messages to your children when you sit, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk, when you stop, when you stand. In other words, the teaching of the children is supposed to be a lifestyle. Let me tell you something, my brother, my sister. You can actually be able to fake being a pastor. Sorry, pastors, you can actually be able to fake being an elder. Sorry, elders, you can actually be able to fake being, a deacon, but you cannot fake being a father. You just have got to be real. Why? It's because all these other things you can decide, to be able to be good for 2 days, for 1 day, maybe on the Sabbath you become a very good person and the like. But when it comes to the family, you have got to be the real person 7 days a week, 24 hours per day. And I'm saying, my brothers, my sisters, this is one of the areas in which we cannot be able to play hide and seek. Your family members know you very well. And so, for you to be a father, you need to be a man who can be able to be sticking to principles. Allow me to read to you from the book of, I'm now reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, and I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3, where the Bible says here, let me just read it together with you, 11 verses 3, it says here, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Let me just pause here and simply say that. You know, most of us as men, we love to hear where it says the head of every woman is the man. But there is a statement, that a phrase that we need to always remember. The head of every man is Christ. Why is it important for a man to have his head as Christ? It is because he is supposed to be learning from his model so that he can be able to become a model for his wife and for his family members. Let me be able to put it this way and simply say that the wife is the head who is the husband, and the husband is the head who is Christ. So before the husband becomes the head of the wife, he has to be having his own head who is Christ. So he has to be listening to Christ. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about every father. We need to always remember that as long as Christ is your head, then it becomes easier for you to become the head of your wife. So this is the order that the Lord has already given, and he would want us to be able to pull our family this way. Let me be able to simplify it by simply saying that the last person to sleep in the home has to be the father. Why? He has to go out, find his own place where he can pray and talk to his father, which is in heaven. And the first person to wake up in the home is supposed to be the father. He has to present himself and the family before God, before he can come for the family altar. where he is going to be talking to his family members. I would want to say, my brothers and my sisters, if only as husbands, as men, we would know how to keep our relationship, close relationship between us and Jesus Christ, it will finally become easier for us to be able to win even our family members to ourselves. Can I just challenge you on this point? When you will hear your wife saying, "You are a real Christian," then you should know for sure you are a Christian. Why? Because for the wife to say that statement, I would want you to know this, my brothers, my sisters, that you would have worked to the extent that she would be looking at you and she simply says, "You know what? Now this is the husband that I have chosen." Let me go down and be able to say, the Lord has loved the church. And Christ, after loving the church, he was prepared to give himself for it. And he did give himself for it. And so we are looking at this. Allow me to show you this from the book of Ephesians. I'm reading together with you from the book of Ephesians. Look at what the Bible says from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25. And I'm reading, and also verses 28. I'm just talking about the issue of being a father here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This is a sacrificial love. This is the love that the Lord is simply saying, that I want you to love your wife as Christ has loved the church. And I want you to know this. This is a point. This is a fact that God is actually giving. He is simply saying that love your wife unconditionally, as Christ loved the church unconditionally. In fact, Christ came to the point whereby he was even prepared to be killed by his own church, trying to rescue it from sin. And can I tell you this, my brothers, my sisters, besides just giving the wife the clothes and buying the goodies and buying the cars and everything you can be able to do, we have got an obligation before God to also spiritually lead our families back to Christ, to lead our wives back to Christ. Why is it important? It is because the welfare of the family depends upon the father. I remember when Adam sinned, even though his wife caused him to sin, God came asking for him and he said, "Adam, Adam, where are you?" He did not come and ask for Eve, "Where are you?" He asked for Adam. That was a call for responsibility, accountability of responsibility. I've given you a position. I've given you a family. Where is it? So as I'm talking to you, as one of the evangelists, I would want to say it is one of the most difficult things to do, to become a father. It is easier for one to go and preach to the other people. It is easier for you to go and win souls for Christ. And yet it is very difficult to win your own family to Christ. I would want to say, with my family of five, it is not an easy thing. But it is a joy as your children begin to see you as a father who is striving to win them one by one to Christ. Today, as I'm talking to you, I can clearly tell you, oh, by the way, I speak the same language with Pastor Joseph. In fact, if he was here, I was just going to begin to speak to him in Romanian. But I would want to say, my brothers and my sisters, that with my family being raised up in a foreign land, and yet in the home, we are still a family, I would want to say, there are things that the children have got to be seeing. Number one, children have got to be seeing the father loving the mother, the father being able to laugh together with the mother, even though there are no other people. Even in your own bedroom, let them hear the sound of laughter within your bedrooms. You know, I did not know that my children noticed that, to the extent that when they were talking one to another, the elderly boy, Simba, and even the second one was speaking about it this Sabbath. You know what they were doing is that they were simply saying, "You know what? Sometimes in our home, our father and our mother, they just keep on laughing. They are laughing, just the two of them." We did not know that that was actually making an impact to them. And I've discovered that also our behavior as fathers matters a lot for them, especially for the boys. If you have got boys like me, I remember this Sabbath when we were just studying about the family, and I asked my boys to be able to be studying to be giving the lessons on the Sabbath school lesson, and it was about the family. And as they were busy talking about it, the eldest boy is the one who was, it was now his turn to give the lesson. And then the younger boy, who is now about 20 years, the first one is 24, he said, oh, let me just throw in my observation. He says, I've discovered that we as children, we will always want to copy you. And then he says, you know what? When I see Simba, I am actually seeing the character of my father, because I see a lot of things that he does that our father does. You know, he just decided to say such kind of a thing. And because of the openness that we have, he was talking about it. And I'm saying, my brothers, my sisters, our children are copying us. What type of a role model are we trying to be as fathers in our homes? Another thing that I would want to read is this. It is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28. It says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Right. What I get from this is that as a father, the way you love your wife should be the way you love yourself. Of course, there will be no violence in the home. I have discovered in life that children may forgive you if you take a stick and then you whip them or you pull their ears a little bit, they may forgive you. But the day that you beat their mother, they cannot forgive you. It's one of the toughest things that they can ever entertain. Why? How can somebody beat my mother? It's no longer like father and mother are fighting. No. How can somebody beat my mother? So I'm simply saying, my brothers, my sisters, there is need for harmony. But for that harmony to take place, the father and the mother have got to be on the same wavelength. In other words, one thing that I've decided to do with my wife is this. We have simply said, we take the Bible, we take the spirit of prophecy. Let's read together. We have got the same source of material where we are going to be starting from. If the Bible or the spirit of prophecy says something, then we stick to God to that. What I'm saying is this. Once the Bible says something, we have got to ascribe to that. Why? It's because a family can only be run under the principles of God. And in fact, let me be able to be quick to say this. Show me a real Christian and I will show you a real family. What do I mean by that? I'm simply trying to say that all the principles that are used in Christianity are the same principles that are needed in a family setup. What do I mean by this? Let me be able to go down and simply say, for example, excuse me, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. So who is your neighbor? Your first neighbor is the one who sleeps next to you, right? That's your wife. So you need to love your wife as yourself. This is very simple. That's a principle of a Christian, okay? And not only that, the Bible says that do not let the sun go down in your anger. That's a Christian principle. It needs to be applied also in your relationship between you and your wife and your wife and you. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. Not only that, it says in Colossians chapter 3:13, it says, as Christ forgave, so are we supposed to forgive. Christ said to forgive without the people asking for forgiveness. So are we supposed to forgive without even the wife asking for forgiveness? In the heart, you need to have purity. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5, verses 8. So are we supposed to have the purity of the heart as we are dealing with our spouses? And I'm simply talking about what it means to be a father in Christ. Christ in the center of the family and the father being centered in Christ. And I'm saying the moment we are like that, that family will work. And I want to say, my brothers and my sisters, when we are talking about a family, We need to have a family time when you can be able to discuss about the family. One of the things that we have done is this. We have gone through the book, Adventist Home, together with my family, together even with the siblings, the ones who are younger in the family. Like, for example, I've got 24, then 20, then I've got 13, I've got 11, I've got 9. All right. So I picked them up together. Then we studied together, step by step, in the book. And as we studied together, one of the things that I've decided to do is this, is to study even about courtship and marriage, even with those ones we have not even any thought of what it means to be courting. I remember one of the studies that we're doing, we are dealing with how to choose a good wife, how to choose a good husband. And as we are studying together, we studied and then they went to sleep because we study in the morning and in the evening. By the way, it is important for you as a father to give the morning and the evening worship. Unite the family together. Family worship is very important. It unites the family together. Now, one of these mornings, one of the boys, I mean, the second from the last boy, just said this. He said, "Oh, Daddy, you know what happened?" I said, "What happened?" He says, "You know what? Pastor Joseph, that's Tappy." Okay. He said, "You know, I dreamt having married to a very lazy woman. Oh, I had to be doing every work, the washing, the cooking, the everything. And she was very lazy." And we are talking of a boy who was somewhere around, by that time, he was somewhere around 9-10 years. I mean, can you imagine him thinking about that? Because we were dealing with these issues. And he says, "But when I woke up, and then I discovered that, oh, it was just but a dream." He says, "From then on, I really knelt down to thank the Lord that, oh, it was just but a dream." So I want to say, let's have family time. Let's have time that we can study. Not only that, even the time that we can play together with the family. I know as a father, you also need to be strict on some things when it comes to the principles. You need to be strict to the principles, and yet at the same time to be kind and loving. You do not have to be bending as a father when it comes to the principles, but when it comes to love, you have got to be just like margarine. I mean, you've got to be laughing, you've got to be smiling, you've got to be laughing. Do some exercises together with them, run some short distances together with them, but do participate in their own joy as the young people. It is important. Look at what the Bible says from the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verses 14. Proverbs chapter 19, verses 14. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 19, verses 14. It says here, and I strongly believe this is the truth. It says here, "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. For every man who is married," let me simply be able to say this, "a prudent wife is from the Lord." Why is it important to have a prudent wife? Because that is the mother of your children. And by the way, if you as a father can stand by your wife, then your wife could be able to train up the children the best way. As long as you are going to be her sustainer, as long as you are staying closer to her, it is important. She needs moral support. She needs help in the training of the children. She needs sometimes help even in some cooking and some washing and some sweeping, even though these are her duties, but she also needs that help, that extra sense that shows that you know that this is my wife, she needs help. I would want to say that as a father, it is important to be a father who says what he means. He does not only speak things for the sake of just speaking. You need to speak the things that you will also do. By the way, I always remember this, that our children do not have ears, but they have the eyes. In other words, you can speak as much as you want, but if they do not see that one in you, then they are going to simply say, "You know what? I mean, this thing is not real." And I'm saying to you, my brothers and my sisters, it is time that we become real, even in our relationship with God. Let our children be able to remember that whenever you are in the church, you pray, you come back home, you pray. Sometimes when they come and then they begin to knock at your door, and then they are saying, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," and they receive no answer. They knock again, "Daddy, Daddy," no answer. And then finally they open the door, and then they discover that their father is on his knees praying. I want you to know this. That would leave a long-standing effect upon their hearts. Why? It's because they know that now that Christianity is not only the one that is found at the church on a certain day of the week. No, but it is a lifestyle. And once they know about that, they will also desire to become Christians. Having said this, my brothers and my sisters, I would want to say at the same time that the children, once they know that they are centered, the father is centered in Christ, the mother is centered in Christ, then the children are going to fight also to be centered in Christ. And can I tell you something? It becomes the easiest thing to train up the child. As the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that he is supposed to go. When he is old, he is not going to move away from that. So it is important. And allow me to tell you this, that also in the discussion, we have got some time when father and mother do not agree. The question is this, how do you solve those problems? When you know, there is no family without a problem. Every family has a problem. But it is the way the family solves the problem that is very important and very crucial. We have decided with my wife that whenever we are feeling angry, that is not the time, the best time for communication. It's better we drop the issue and we begin to discuss when we know that there is no more anger or irritation in the voices. Then we can now sit down and discuss. Then that discussion is going to be very constructive. Another thing that we have discovered is this. Never do your fightings before the children, because this might disturb your smooth running and your smooth training of your children. Get into your room, sit down, and discuss. Another thing that we have learned is this. Make sure that the faults of your wife are not known by your parents, in other words, the in-laws. Your faults are supposed to be remaining in your heart grave. In other words, I'm talking about the faults of your wife are supposed to remain in this heart grave. In other words, the faults are going to remain in your heart. They are not going to be revealed to your family members like my father and my mother or my brethren. Why? It is because the day that she cooks very well, I mean, if I have told my parents and I've told my siblings about the problem that I'm having with my wife, you know what is going to happen? What is going to happen is this, that the day that she cooks very well, very nice food, I will eat that food and I'll forget about the problem. But what I have already transmitted to my family members, to my parents will never forget that. They will simply say, that type of a wife who is like this, that type of a wife who is like this, and which creates a problem within the family. So, let me tell you this, my brother, my sisters. I am one of the best sons-in-law in my in-laws. Oh, by the way, I'm the only son-in-law. I have no competition. My wife is only one in a family, so I'm the best. Why? Is because my wife did not speak about my faults to my in-laws. And I'm simply saying, my brothers, my sisters, once we are like that, today we are able to unite all our families together. And the last thing that I can be able to be throwing in on that one is this, that it will be good for you as a father to look for how best you can be able to solve the problems in the relatives or the parents of your wife. you take more attention on that, and then your wife to also think of how best she can please your own family members. And by so doing, there is going to be unity in the family. I'm talking about the things that we have tried to do in our family. So I'm simply saying, my brothers, my sisters, it is important for us to be united in the family. But remember this, that the Bible says from the book of Proverbs chapter 15. Let me just read this one, Proverbs chapter 15. It says here, a soft answer, verses 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Be careful of what you say. I understand a lot of families are breaking up, not because of adultery, not because of some other things besides the issue of lack of good communication. So communication, it is very important. I remember, you know what, when if you know the language of the man, when the man comes to the wife and he says, you know what, look here, I don't even have any clothes here. You know, it's not the duty of the wife to come and say, let me show you, you have got a lot of them here. No. When the husband is saying, I do not have any clothes, he's simply saying that I do not have the clothes that are ironed. And when a woman is saying, you know what, look here, I don't even have any clothes here, it doesn't mean that she needs somebody to open her eyes to see that the wardrobe is full of clothes. No, she is simply saying that I do not have new clothes. So it is very important for us to be able to know the language. So communication, it is very, very important. Now, reading my last three verses, I would want to read this one from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, I'm reading chapter 31, verses 10 and 31. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10. It says here, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. I praise the Lord even for the wife that the Lord has given me, because had it not been for her, I would not even be able to speak the way I am speaking. And I know Pastor John knows my family. I mean, I cannot be able to be speaking the way I am speaking. But because the Lord gave me a virtuous woman, I can be able to be speaking to others the way I'm speaking right now. Verse 31, verse 30 says, favor and deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It is very, very important. And of course, sisters, remember, it is only a foolish woman who can actually destroy her own home by her own hands. It is important, don't allow anything that is destructive, anything that is bad, any bad word to come out of your mouth. But always remember that you have got to be giving any of your communication that is seasoned with salt. As the father of the home, I would want you to understand that you are not a child or a big boy who is unruly, who is just but now having children. No, but you are a father. You are the priest. You are the husband or the house band, the one who unites the whole family with the 10 virtues of the father, and also with the love, with the kindness, and also having the direction. It is important. I've also said when I was talking to my children, look at your mother. You do not have any mother who is as good as the mother that you have. And in life, you will not have another mother. And when I was not there, something interesting is that my wife would say, look at your father. You will not have another father who is like him. In other words, as the father and the mother, we need to be united together in training up the children. One of the most important things is this, as the father and mother, never speak contradicting instructions before your children. Give the same instruction. If somebody has made a mistake, either the husband or the wife, I mean, you put up with it until you discuss it, the two of you, and then after that, you let the person who has given the instruction to go and change. And finally, from the book of Psalms, chapter 127, verse 1, that's my last verse, Psalms 127, verses 1, look at what the Bible says here. Psalms 127, verses 1, which is actually the key of all that I've been talking about. 127 verse 1, the Bible says here, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman worketh but in vain. I am saying to you, my brothers, my sisters, unless and until the Lord build the house, we will not be able to build the house. As the fathers, we have got the duty of training our children in the fear of the Lord. If you have got the boys, then the work is even greater. You have got to teach them to become responsible. But not only that, we have got to train these children to know that being a man does not mean running around with girls and spoiling some girls. No, it means being responsible. So when I talk to my children, I ask them, how would you feel if I, as your father, would begin to run around with the other women? They simply say, no, we wouldn't want to see such kind of a thing like that. And then I tell them, so your children also will not want to see their father like that. But don't forget that marriage does not change the character. It only changes the size of your stomach for some few hours. So it is important, let's take our children together with us to heaven. So brethren, I can only challenge you by simply saying we can have the families that can work. Even though we can have problems, but we can be able to solve the problems by the help of the Lord. May the Lord be able to bless us all. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.